All right, well, good morning, everyone. It's, I don't know about you, but I'm blessed already. Just thinking about God's faithfulness and just all the good things we have. There's so many good things in our lives and things to be thankful for. And yeah, I'm guilty of complaining and sometimes not seeing what God has given us. But just for a few minutes here, I just want to share some things that I've been thinking about lately, and the Lord has been kind of, it's just been kind of on my thoughts lately, is something about our heritage. I had talked with the youth a little bit, and one of the youth meetings, and I had mentioned that, you know, we have so many good things in America. We stand, I think the term I use is we stand or we sit on top of multiple generations of Christian heritage. And sometimes it's easy to take it for granted. And also, if you think about all the resources we have and all the things that are at our fingertips as far as teaching and training and just gospel background, all those things from our time in Asia, you know, you see the believers there and you see what they're, in a sense, working through. I mean, they're serving the Lord as best they can, and in many ways they're much stronger. Maybe I should say it's not about doing a better job, but that they're much stronger than we are. Just so challenged. There's one young man in Nepal that I got to know, 23 years old, and came from a strong Muslim background. And the joy of the Lord just poured out of that guy. I mean, he was smiling constantly. We'd study language together, and man, it was just, I always left that just blessed, man. He had so much zeal, and yet I learned about his story, and every one of his family is still in the Muslim faith, and he had to flee his village, and his brother to this day if he would meet him, he would like to either have him convert or he would kill him. And to know the suffering that guy is going through, and yet the joy of the Lord just pouring out of him. So as we think about just all the great things we have and the blessings we have here, I was challenged recently in a message listening to Ravi Zacharias. He talked about the story in 2 Kings 7. I'm not sure if I'm going to read the verses, but it's a story. There was a famine in Jerusalem, and the armies, let's see, I think it was, I'm trying to think what the country was, but they had Jerusalem surrounded, and they were starving them out is what they were doing. And there was, the story is about four lepers that are outside the wall, and they said, you know, why should we just sit here until we die? You know, if we're going to stay here, we're going to die. If we go into Jerusalem, there's a famine there, we're going to die anyway. So why don't we go to the army and just cast ourselves on them, and if they have mercy on us, then we'll have food and we'll live. It was their only opportunity to live. And that's what they did. And I'll pick it up in verse 5. It says, at dusk they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. And they left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. It says, and the men with leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and they drank and they carried away silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. But then they said, they looked at each other and they said to each other, we're not doing what is right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. Let's go, let's see. We're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. And I often think of us in America as those lepers when they came upon the tents. I mean, there was just, an army of 100,000+, maybe 200,000 men. You can only imagine the food and the wealth and the clothing that was there. And they just, at first, they were in a sense, diving in and just enjoying it for themselves. And they said, hold on, today there's good news. There's people just right here in Jerusalem that are starving to death. We got a story to tell. And I just love how Ravi wrapped up his message. He said, kind of summarizing, he said, four men with nothing to lose, a story to tell, and a world to confront. And I just really am challenged by that. I think of that in our lives today. We have so many blessings, and the Lord has been so good to us. And I just pray that I could be faithful in that, that we all could be faithful in that. If you will, turn to Philippians chapter 3. I love how Paul Paul sums it up, and this is my prayer and prayer for each of us and for myself, as we think of what we've been given, the heritage we have, the blessings we've been given from our parents. You know, sometimes I get caught in focusing on what the weaknesses that was in my heritage and my upbringing, instead of focusing on the good things. And so this is my prayer. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But whatsoever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering and becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead. But as thinking I had, there was another verse later, he says, you know, casting aside those things which are behind us and pressing forward. That's kind of my challenge as we think about what we're thankful for. Be thankful for the good things we have, but then use that and use the blessings that we've been given and spread it out with others. Today is a day of good news. We've been given so much. It's good tidings. And spiritually, there's a world out there that's starving. And I was blessed with the Sunday school lesson. You know, how do we share and how do we reach out to people that think differently? But my prayer for myself and for each of us is that we could be a people that is loving and that is excited to share the good news of the gospel. James?
And one of the things that causes me to think about the times that I say stuff like that are when I hear my children complaining about things, and then I think about the ways that I complain and that I'm not grateful. So I watched something like that, and it's something that I've been thinking about even before I actually saw this clip, but I'm really soft. Like, we in the West are really soft. If you follow what I'm saying, we've been given so much and we have so much, so that little problems that I face look like huge problems. But when you look at the reality and you see people in third world countries feeding back our problems to us, it's almost amusing. It seems so nonsensical. Recently, about a month ago, a guy that I went to school with down in Virginia, he's about 30, 29 or 30. He has two little girls. He and his wife did. She got cancer about 4 years ago, and she passed away about a month ago. And some of that also caused me to think some of the thoughts that I'm sharing this morning. And where do we go? And what do we say? And what do we feel in a time like that? And I started putting myself in his shoes and thinking about it. He has two daughters. I have four daughters. But if that was me and Carla passed away from cancer, where would that leave me? Would I feel like I had anything to be thankful for? Where would that leave you? And then, of course, it leads to the question in those times, is God good? Is God really good? Do I believe that he's good? I came across an article from Ravi Zacharias International Ministries written by Michael Ramson. It's called God in Pain. And I'm just going to read a couple excerpts from this to keep us thinking about what about those times when we don't feel thankful? We don't feel like we have anything to be thankful for or grateful for. What do we do with that? Like, how do we wrestle with that as believers? How do we think about that during Thanksgiving? Is God faithful? Is he good? Some of Michael Ramson's thoughts on God and pain. He's a gentleman who is an apologist. He travels the world. He travels in third world countries a lot and defends the Christian faith. This is what he says. For a while now, at least in the Western world, the existence of any form of pain, suffering, or evil has been regarded as evidence for the non-existence of God. If a God existed, people reason, these things would not. but they do, and therefore God does not. My job takes me around many different parts of the world in order to answer people's questions about the Christian faith. I find it fascinating that I have never been asked this question in India, a country that certainly knows a lot more about suffering than many of us in the West. I find it even more intriguing that Christians who write books in situations where they have known unspeakable torment because of the gospel do not normally raise this as an issue for themselves either. Why? So basically he's saying these questions of, is God good, those, some of those basic foundational questions, he doesn't hear them raised in some of the world that we just saw in the third world countries from believers there. And he's asking why. Why don't they ask those questions? Or aren't they asking those questions? Later on, I'm going to skip some of the article. And he says, these are profound questions. I'll just read the questions first. Can I trust God even faced with great evil? Is God morally trustworthy? Can I trust God even if I don't understand what is happening? These are profound questions, and whole books could be written about them, but I will offer one more thought. Maybe the reason we question God's moral character when bad things happen is that we live our lives largely independent from God on a daily basis. I'm going to read that last sentence again. Maybe the reason we question God's moral character when bad things happen is that we live our lives largely independent from God on a daily basis. In other words, we struggle to trust God in times of trouble because we do not really trust God when things are going well. Maybe we struggle with suffering so much in the West because we are so comfortable most of the time that we feel we don't need God. We do not rely on God on a daily basis, and so we do not really know God. When suffering comes along, therefore, it is not so much that it takes us away from God, but that it reveals to us that we have not really been close to God in the first place. As I said earlier, I have never been asked questions about God and suffering when I'm traveling in countries riddled with the realities of it. In fact, when I visit churches in parts of the world where they are faced daily with horrific affliction, I normally leave inspired. They trust God in everything, even when things are going well. When times are hard, they cling to God because they have learned to trust. They have learned that God does not change, even when our circumstances have. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And I think this is, spinning off of this article, this is one of the keys to our faith in those times when it feels like the world is against us. Or what do we do? It looks hopeless. It looks depressing. How do we give thanks in those times? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Going back to my friend from school whose wife passed away, as incredibly sad as it was, and to be there at the funeral, I'm actually not real close to him. I haven't kept up with him a lot. I did not really know his wife. I talked to her a couple times. But as incredibly sad as it was in that moment, at the end of the funeral, they played this video. She was a musician. She wrote a lot of songs. They played this video at the end of the funeral where she is sitting at the keyboard and she has her daughters, one on either side of her, and they help her to sing a song that she actually wrote to them. And it's about her love for them. She knew she was going to pass away. She wrote the song for them. And they're sitting on either side. They help her to sing the song. And at the end, like while she's just playing, she's just finishing up, just playing a little bit on the piano, and she tells them good night. Like, she turns and looks at them, big smile on her face, and tells them good night. And I walked out of there, and it's just struck me, like, that faith, the hope from her, is the greatest gift that she could have offered those little girls, that she could have offered her friends, to Daryl even. So what is the difference for us as believers in those times? It's the hope. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And she believed that at her deepest place. Does that mean she did not have struggles? No, because I know there were times where she was very down and she had struggles and really grappled with it. And she, at times she felt desperate, like, no, I can't die. I'm too young to die. But at the end of the day, she always came back to what she believed and her faith and her hope and her trust in God and where she was going to go. And that's the message that she left with all of us, with all of her friends. So, thinking about that in relation to faith, Mark shared about faith a couple weeks ago and stirred my mind with some of these thoughts as well. And I started thinking about faith in those hard times. How does it apply at Thanksgiving and in giving thanks in hard times? And I'm not at all suggesting that it means we should only look at the positive and not look at the negative and not deal with our pain. That's not at all what I'm suggesting. Because clearly we do have to grapple with it and struggle with it and ask the hard questions and go to those dark places. And yet there is always that light. There is always the hope for us as believers. And I thought of this, my level of faith and trust in God, that directly impacts and affects how grateful I am. Think about that for a minute. My level of faith and my trust in God, that directly affects and impacts how grateful and thankful I am. And am I looking the here and now, just what is in front of me, the temporal, or am I looking to the eternal? It says in verse 2 here, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. To look beyond and to look at what C.S. Lewis called the real life. To look beyond the temporal and the things that are going badly for us. And to think about the eternal and what we have actually been given and what we have to look forward to. I'm going to jump down to verse 12 in Colossians chapter 3. And he talks in that, the part that I'm skipping, he's talking about putting off the old man. And then he's talking about the character of the new man for us as a believer. Starting at verse 12 in Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see the theme down through there in those few verses. It talks about being thankful, being grateful three different times. And it's part of the character of putting on the new man and who we become as believers. So when I reach for the temporal, what I focus on is what I don't have. I complain, I covet, I'm jealous, and in general, I am discontent. That's what happens when all I do is look around me and I don't look on to the next life. When I reach for the eternal, I am grateful and thankful. We're going to sing some songs just worshiping the Lord. And I want to give everybody an opportunity to share. If there's anyone that wants to share a testimony, share in a couple words what you're thankful for. But we're going to do what it says here in verse 16 in Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.